Harry couldn't take any more. Clearing his throat loudly, he stepped out from behind the bookshelves. If he hadn't been feeling so angry, he would have found the sight that greeted him funny. Every one of the Hufflepuffs looked as though they had been petrified by the sight of him, and the colour was draining out of Ernie's face. "Hello," said Harry. "I'm looking for Justin Finch-Fletchley." The Hufflepuffs' worst fears had clearly been confirmed. They all looked fearfully at Ernie.
"What do you want with him?"
said Ernie, in a quavering voice. "I wanted to tell him what really happened with that snake at the dueling club," said Harry. Ernie bit his white lips, and then, taking a deep breath, said,
"We were all there. We saw what happened."
"Then you noticed that after I spoke to it, the snake backed off?" said Harry.
"All I saw," said Ernie stubbornly, though he was trembling as he spoke, "was you speaking parcel tongue and chasing the snake towards Justin."
"I didn't chase it at him," Harry said, his voice shaking with anger. "It didn't even touch him."
"It was a very near miss," said Ernie. "And in case you're getting ideas," he added hastily, "I might tell you that you can trace my family back through 9 generations of witches and warlocks, and my blood's as pure as anyone's, so I don't care what sort of blood you've got," said Harry fiercely. "Why would I want to attack Muggle-borns?"
"I've heard you hate those Muggles you live with," said Ernie swiftly.
"It's not possible to live with the Dursleys and not hate them," said Harry. "I'd like to see you try it." He turned on his heel and stormed out of the library, earning himself a reproving glare from Madame Pince, who was polishing the gilded cover of a large spellbook. Harry blundered up the corridor, barely noticing where he was going, he was in such a fury. The result was that he walked into something very large and solid, which knocked him backwards onto the floor. "Oh, hello, Hagrid," Harry said, looking up. Hagrid's face was entirely hidden by a woolly, snow-covered balaclava, but it couldn't possibly be anyone else, as he filled most of the corridor in his moleskin overcoat. A dead rooster was hanging from one of his massive, gloved hands.
"All right, Harry," he said, pulling up the balaclava so he could speak. "Why aren't you in class?"
"Cancelled," said Harry, getting up. "What are you doing in here?" Hagrid held up the limp rooster.
"Second one killed this term," he explained. "It's either foxes or a blood-sucking bugbear, and I need the headmaster's permission to put a charm round the hen-coop."
He peered more closely at Harry from under his thick, snow-flecked eyebrows.
"You sure you're all right? You look all hot and bothered."
Harry couldn't bring himself to repeat what Ernie and the rest of the Hufflepuffs had been saying about him.
"It's nothing," he said. "I'd better get going, Hagrid. It's Transfiguration next, and I've got to pick up my books."
He walked off, his mind still full of what Ernie had said about him.
"Justin's been waiting for something like this to happen ever since he let slip to Potter he was Muggle-born."
Harry stamped up the stairs and turned along another corridor, which was particularly dark. The torches had been extinguished by a strong, icy draught which was blowing through a loose window-pane. He was halfway down the passage when he tripped headlong over something lying on the floor. He turned to squint at what had fallen over, and felt as though his stomach had dissolved. Justin Finch-Fletchley was lying on the floor, rigid and cold, a look of shock frozen on his face, his eyes staring blankly at the ceiling. And that wasn't all. Next to him was another figure, the strangest sight Harry had ever seen. It was nearly headless Nick, no longer pearly white and transparent, but black and smoky, floating immobile and horizontal, 6 inches off the floor. His head was half off, and his face wore an expression of shock identical to Justin's. Harry got to his feet, his breathing fast and shallow, his heart doing a kind of drum-roll against his ribs. He looked wildly up and down the deserted corridor and saw a line of spiders scuttling as fast as they could away from the bodies. The only sounds were the muffled voices of teachers from the classes on either side. He could run, and no one would ever know he had been there. but he couldn't just leave them lying there. He had to get help. Would anyone believe he hadn't had anything to do with this? As he stood there, panicking, a door right next to him opened with a bang. Peeves, the poltergeist, came shooting out.
"Why, it's Potty Wee Potter!"
cackled Peeves, knocking Harry's glasses askew as he bounced past him.
"What's Potter up to? Why's Potter lurking—"
Peeves stopped, halfway through a mid-air somersault. Upside down, he spotted Justin and nearly headless Nick. He flipped the right way up, filled his lungs, and before Harry could stop him, screamed,
"Attack! Attack! Another attack! No mortal or ghost is safe! Run for your lives! Attack!"
Crash! 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 Door after door flew open along the corridor, and people flooded out. For several long minutes there was a scene of such confusion that Justin was in danger of being squashed, and people kept standing in nearly headless Nick. Harry found himself pinned against the wall as the teachers shouted for quiet. Professor McGonagall came running, followed by her own class, one of whom still had black-and-white striped hair. She used her wand to set off a loud bang, which restored silence, and ordered everyone back into their classes. No sooner had the scene cleared somewhat than Ernie the Hufflepuff arrived, panting, on the scene.
"Caught in the act!"
Ernie yelled, his face stark white, pointing his finger dramatically at Harry.
"That will do, Macmillan,"
said Professor McGonagall sharply. Peeves was bobbing overhead, now grinning wickedly, surveying the scene. Peeves always loved chaos. As the teachers bent over Justin and nearly headless Nick, examining them, Peeves broke into song.
"Oh, Potter, you rotter, oh, what have you done? You're killing off students. You think it's good fun. That's enough, Peeves!"
barked Professor McGonagall, and Peeves zoomed away backwards with his tongue out at Harry. Justin was carried up to the hospital wing by Professor Flitwick and Professor Sinistra of the astronomy department. But nobody seemed to know what to do for nearly headless Nick. In the end, Professor McGonagall conjured a large fan out of thin air, which she gave to Ernie with instructions to waft nearly headless Nick up the stairs. This Ernie did, fanning Nick along like a silent black hovercraft. This left Harry and Professor McGonagall alone together.
"This way, Potter," she said.
"Professor," said Harry at once,
"I swear I didn't—"
"This is out of my hands, Potter," said Professor McGonagall curtly. They marched in silence around a corner, and she stopped before a large and extremely ugly stone gargoyle.
"Sherbet lemon,"
she said. This was evidently a password, because the gargoyle sprang suddenly to life and hopped aside as the wall behind him split in two. Even full of dread for what was coming, Harry couldn't fail to be amazed. Behind the wall was a spiral staircase which was moving smoothly upwards, like an escalator. As he and Professor McGonagall stepped onto it, Harry heard the wall thud closed behind them. They rose upwards in circles, higher and higher, until at last, slightly dizzy, Harry could see a gleaming oak door ahead with a brass knocker in the shape of a griffin. He knew where he was being taken. This must be where Dumbledore lived.